You're listening to Beyond the Chart, where we go off the record with Baton Rouge General's medical elite. I'm your host, Brogan Taj. Let's get charting. Welcome back to Beyond the Chart. I'm your host, Brogan, and I'm excited to be joined here today by Dr. Candy Moore. Dr. Moore is the chief of OBGYN here at Baton Rouge General. She's been at BRG for almost four years now, and she's awesome. So welcome, Dr. Moore. We're excited to have you here.
Thank you so much. It's great to be here.
This one's kind of for the ladies. But if you're a man, you might still want to listen. But we're going to talk about sex, specifically women's sexual health. Are you ready to jump in?
I'm ready.
All right. So as a woman, how important is your sexual health?
I mean, I think it's as important for a woman as it is for a man.
For sure.
If a woman sees that it's important to her. So I think it's like anything else. You know, it's what you put your priority on, I think sexual health can affect sort of the way that you feel about yourself. Mm-hmm. It can be a reflection of how you feel about yourself. And it can also be, you know, impacted by multiple other things. But I think a lot of women, especially in today's world and stuff, are starting to value intercourse maybe more. Mm-hmm. And then also are not ashamed to value it.
For sure. So does sexual desire, is that related to your overall health at all?
It can be, and stuff. Mm-hmm. For sure. So sexual desire is, I think, impacted by so many things. Mm-hmm. I think we've all been in that new phase of a relationship when it's so prominent and so interesting. And then we've perhaps been in the other parts of a relationship when maybe it's not quite as, you know, important. Maybe it gets replaced by other forms of intimacy. Maybe, you know, there's issues in the relationship. So it can vary for sure.
Yeah. So you would say like sex drive changes at different stages and points of your life?
Absolutely.
Awesome. So is it a myth, or do women just like stop wanting to have sex after menopause?
I think it's definitely something that I hear a lot about in my office. I think people do see a change. It's just driven a lot of times by hormones. I think sometimes, like we said before, you know, sometimes you're just reaching a different phase in your relationship as well. So it can be impacted by more than just menopause.
Yeah.
But definitely, I think that's something that happens.
Go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, I think what's interesting is that I hear it a lot, you know, that maybe my desire is not what it's supposed to be or what I think it should be.
Yeah.
But what's interesting is that sometimes we talk about, let's talk about that and let's talk about how we could increase it. And then maybe you offer some things and then they're like, well, it's not that bad.
That's funny. So what are we were kind of talking about hormone imbalances and stuff. Like, mm-hmm. What are some kind of hormone imbalances that we might not even realize are happening or that could be affecting it? Or...
Sure. There's definitely points in a woman's life when you're going through different things, like pregnancy, for instance. Mm-hmm. I think sometimes we have expectations of what we think it should be. Like, oh, I'm pregnant, therefore I should have a high sex drive. But sometimes it goes the opposite mm-hmm. of that. And, you know, even at different points in pregnancy, your sex drive may vary. Mm-hmm. First trimester, for instance, maybe it's not so much there. Second trimester, you tend to see an increase in vaginal discharge. Maybe it makes you more aware of that area.
Yeah.
You know, and then your sex drive increases. That's one of those just points in a woman's life when it might be different.
Speaking of like vaginal discharge, let's just like jump into that real quick. Like, mm-hmm. What is normal? Like, I know this is like a topic people are like,
yes,
always talking about, like, what is normal for a woman?
That can vary greatly. Mm-hmm. And what's normal for one person may not be, you know, what someone else considers to be normal. What I always tell women who come in complaining that, you know, well, I have discharge, but okay, we've done an evaluation. It's not an infection. It's mm-hmm. not, you know, anything that we need to worry about, is that type of discharge mm-hmm. is okay. Like, that's okay. Just driven by estrogen, and it's normal to have some discharge. I always tell people, I mean, the flip of that is you could be menopausal and have no discharge. And now we're going to talk about vaginal dryness and, you know, be careful what you ask for.
So just set, like, sex can affect mm-hmm. like the amount of discharge and stuff you have.
So you're just like with sexual desire, interest, and then your body's response mm-hmm. to that, you'll see an increase in discharge in that moment. And so it's sort of your body's natural way of making a lubricant.
Yeah.
And so, you know, kind of going back to your question about menopause and perimenopause, you know, maybe you don't have the same estrogen levels at that point, and then the skin changes in the vagina at that point too. So it gets smoother, it gets thinner, it doesn't necessarily lubricate as well, doesn't stretch as well. So, you know, there may be points in life whenever we have to talk about how do we replace that to make it where your sexual health is still, you know, in check and still, you know, sex is still a satisfying thing for you.
For sure. Can you explain the difference between perimenopause and menopause?
Yeah. So menopause is when you officially have not had a cycle for 1 year and then don't have any further bleeding after that. Perimenopause is that whole time frame leading up to it. And for some women, that may go on for 10 years. You know, you may have some changes in your menstrual cycle. You may have, you know, some hot flashes or mood swings or trouble sleeping, that sort of stuff. But it's really just kind of that transition phase, but you're not officially there yet.
Gotcha. Speaking of like changes and stuff, have you seen or like patients and women talking about the past year? Like, you know, it's been a crazy year, obviously, like changes in their periods or anything like that. Oh, yeah. I've kind of heard some of that.
Stress and anxiety affects us much more than we give it credit for.
For sure.
You know, one of my favorite slides, I talk about this all the time, and I so wish I had a copy of these slides, but I didn't get them. But I went to a conference one time, and there was a talk on sexual health dysfunction in women.
Mm-hmm.
And she put up two slides. She put up one slide with the standard four phases of the sexual response. And you know, that's what we're all taught in medical school, residency. This is it. And she said, you know, maybe for a man, that's true. You know, they think about it. The interest is there. They're good to go. They recover. And here we go again. And she said, and she put up this other slide. And it had about 20 different things up there with all these entry and exit points. And she's like, and that's probably what it's like for a female. You know, and it's like, as long as everything's going along and it's going well, you're in it, you're all for it. As soon as one thing gets off, you're like, yeah, I'm good, I'm done. And it's just so much more mental,
I think. Absolutely, yes.
So, you know, a part of that is stress, you know. Mm-hmm. And so if you're stressed, if you've got, you know, lots of other things going on in your life, I think a lot of times sex just falls further and further down the priority list, and it's just not where your mind is.
Absolutely. So we were kind of talking about discharge and stuff a second ago. So what should women be using to, like, in the shower to clean? Like, I've heard mixed things about, like, Summer's Eve, but, like, what's a good product? What's, like, the baseline?
Right. So really, you know, it's going to sound funny, but in a way, the vagina is a self-cleaning.
Mm-hmm. Like, definitely. I've definitely heard that before. Yeah.
You don't need anything in there.
Okay.
And so, you know, externally, you know, then just some people will recommend only water. Like, if you are particularly sensitive, that skin tends to be more sensitive than other areas. But I usually just recommend, you know, just a mild soap, something along the lines of like Dove Sensitive Skin. That's really all you need. You know, try to avoid bubble baths and things like that if you're sensitive in that area. It just tends to be more irritating. I think a statistic I heard one time was, I think 70% of women who come in thinking they have a yeast infection really just have some type of contact dermatitis. It's just something that's irritating it. And, you know, those things tend to be culprits.
That's interesting. Mm-hmm. How many bubble baths should you take a week if you're...
It does help with stress.
Yeah, it does. I am speaking from the place of a person who takes a lot of bubble baths.
Yeah, I mean, and if you're not particularly sensitive in that area, you just have a great time, by the way. But if it's, you know, if you find that every time you take one, now you've got all this discomfort, you're one of those people that probably just should avoid it. Just soak in a hot tub or something like that. Well, a tub of hot water.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
All right. You have anything else while we're in this section to add? Anything else we want to talk about?
I mean, I guess if maybe one thing to talk about is, you know, there are other things that can affect a woman's sex drive. Mm-hmm. So when we think about it, we kind of think about it in categories. And so sometimes it's, you know, pain problems. Mm-hmm. And so if you've got pain issues there, whether it's resulting from, I don't know, some particular lesion, or maybe it's an infection, or maybe it's, you know, history of trauma, whether that was abuse or rape or whatever, you know, then I think that's one form of sexual dysfunction. Sometimes it's affected by medications. We talked about that a little bit, but that, you know, can affect things. Sometimes it's an orgasmic issue, like whether it's you can't have an orgasm with sex, or with actual penetration, maybe it's something else. But that's kind of one of the things. And then the desire one is the other. So, I mean, it's kind of a broad category. And sometimes getting to the root of the problem it takes a little bit of delving
in. For sure. Mm-hmm. All right. So I kind of want to do like a little rapid fire question and answer. Are you down for that?
Hit it.
All right. Let's do it. You can just do a yes, no, true, false. Mm. Okay.
Okay.
So first one.
I claim the fifth. I'm just kidding.
if we need to.
I'm just kidding.
All right. So do you have to pee after having sex?
You don't have to pee, but I would recommend that you do.
Okay.
And the reason I say that is that, you know, the close proximity of the urethra to the vagina to the anus, I mean, it's all just right there together. For sure. And so with intercourse, you know, there's a lot of, it's not exactly simple. And so it's easy to get some bacteria into the urethra.
Mm-hmm.
And then it increases your risk of getting a urinary tract infection. So going to that's the bathroom afterwards will flush that out and then hopefully prevent that.
Awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Does pineapple really make everything down there like smell or taste better?
That's a new one to me. I'm going to say I don't know the answer to that. I have never recommended that to anyone.
I think it's like a thing that goes around on the internet that people...
Fascinating.
Yeah.
Hmm.
All right. Can you get pregnant during your period?
Very unlikely, unless maybe you have very short cycles. You know, mm-hmm. what's pretty consistent is that you'll ovulate about 14 days before your next period comes. So kind of hindsight's 20/20 on that one. But, you know, so if you're somebody who maybe you have a 21-day cycle, maybe you ovulate on day 7, but your period goes 7 days, then at the very end, in theory, since that's day 7, mm-hmm. you could get pregnant. Most people who have 28-day cycles are going to ovulate on day 14, which is well past when your period stops. So it's not the typical.
Okay.
Yeah.
So in the same vein, can you get pregnant in a hot tub?
Like... with sex?
Yes, having sex. Yes, or just from a hot tub.
I would go with no.
Okay.
On the
without. Just from.
And then I mean I guess so. I don't see why you couldn't. So I mean it's still sealed in the vagina.
Okay.
Yeah.
Good to know.
Mm-hmm.
Is there any benefit to having sex every day?
No, and in some ways I would say you know you may even create some problems that way. Just because of overstimulation and the sensitive tissues that are there.
Yeah.
And the average couple, I think I heard this recently, average married couple only has sex like 1 to 2 times per week and stuff. So, mm-hmm. and that's okay.
Yeah, for sure.
I mean, I think often, you know, the other thing that's important with sexual dysfunction is when you look at like the technical parts of it, you know, we listed the things that can affect it. But the other part that's super important is, does it bother you? Because if it doesn't bother you that you don't have a desire, then that's not considered dysfunction.
Yeah.
You know?
Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Next one. Can a guy actually feel it if you have an IUD in?
Potentially. So most of the time the strings wrap up kind of behind the cervix since it's not something that they feel.
Mm-hmm.
If your IUD has slipped down and then part of it's poking through the cervix, then you may hit that. You might feel the strings a little bit, but it's not anything. It shouldn't be poking. If it is, you need to go see your gynecologist because it can get trimmed or whatnot.
Is it safe to have sex while pregnant?
Sure. Unless your doctor tells you not to. You know, if you've got a placenta that's kind of covering the opening of your cervix, you've had bleeding, you know, you've got some other condition going on that would make your pregnancy high risk, you know, then no. But otherwise, outside of that, sure.
I've heard it before, like, can it, like, make you go into labor?
It can make you have contractions.
Mm-hmm.
So statistically, I don't think it's ever really been shown to actually start labor, but it can make you have some contractions, but not labor.
All right. And the last one is, as women, should we stop being afraid to talk about sex?
Absolutely. I mean, I think in today's world, like I said, so many things that were just taboo that you were not mm-hmm. supposed to talk about in the past. I mean, if you think about, like, you know, our grandmothers and great-grandmothers, like, they all had, if they had cancer, it was stomach cancer. I mean, you couldn't even say you had uterine cancer. You couldn't say, yeah. You know, it was just, you didn't talk about that sort of thing.
Yeah.
And, you know, we do a talk here, actually, called Girl Talk.
Yeah.
Which is geared toward girls that are 9 to 11. We don't talk about sex and stuff. And mm-hmm. they would, you know, save that for another day. But what we do is just talk to them about all the changes that are going to happen with their body, make them more comfortable with that. Talk about what your period's going to be like. I mean, so many of us just, in my generation, at least, like, you didn't get that talk. You didn't. I mean, the only thing I remember was that I wasn't supposed to take a hot shower when I was on my period. That doesn't even make any sense.
Well, I've never heard that before. Right?
I mean, like, that's what I got out of my sex ed talk. So I think, you know, I think we should be open, and I think we should educate people, and people shouldn't be afraid to ask questions and talk about it. You know, if it's bothering you, then it's a problem.
Awesome. Mm-hmm. Well, I think that's all I have. Do you have any other thing you want our listeners to know?
Not really. Just, you know, if you have any concerns, questions, we're always here to help answer any of those for you. Just let us know. And, yeah, don't be afraid to be you.
All right. Well, thank you so much. It was great to have you here.
Thank you.
All right. Thanks for going Beyond the Chart. Follow Baton Rouge General on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram for behind the scenes, upcoming episodes, and more. Feel free to subscribe and leave a review.